Okay, today we begin Simen Kuf Nun Hei. We've skipped over some of the halachas of Avodah Zarah, which are less nogeya, to something which is nogeya in many ways. This Simen Kuf Nun Hei, Kuf Nun Vav, Kuf Nun Zayin, the Simana we're going to learn, deal with the inyanim of Yehareg Val Yavar, issues of Sakana, as the nogeya to Avodah Zarah, of Yehareg Val Yavar, and from them, from these simanim, as we're going to see, come halachas to other areas of medical issues as well. Let's learn Sif Aleph. Sif Aleph has three yesaidis in the Sif, and although at first glance, for some reason or other, the main theme of the Sif doesn't seem to apply today, and nevertheless, there are a number of issues that do. So let's see. I forgot to thank David Shurin. David Shurin, thank you. I'm informing everybody you were kind enough to make the copies. And this was on emergency service notice because I forgot before Shabbos to tell him. So I appreciate the... You did not... I appreciate it. We're skipping to Kufnun Hei. Grad is no kdei shiasu by a yid. If a yid is machan Shabbos, there's no kdei shiasu. Not choishu shtei. You'll tell him to do it. Only by a guy is kdei. Anyway, Sif Aleph. Kol makim achayli sheish bem sakana shemachal leim a Shabbos. Any chayli that's a sakana to the degree that machal Shabbos for it, that means it's considered pikuach nefashis. Ein misrapim meyovde kechavim she'ein aymum chalorabim. You're not allowed to be healed. This doesn't mean avodah zarah. This means a non-Jew. Why? She'ein mumcha l'rabim, who's not known as a mumcha. In parentheses, the Ramah brings v'chol makiz and dam have a mumcha l'inyan akaza. We'll talk about that. The chashinon l'shvichas damim. It's also to go to a guy to be healed if he's not a professional, because we are afraid that he is going to deliberately cause the death of the Jew. And it's interesting, Rashi says there in the Gemara, Shevada Yehargen was Rashi's lashon. Not because he might kill him, he's certainly gonna go out to kill him. Now, nevertheless, by a mumcha it's muta. Why? So Shach Gimel says, Avo mumcha dahainu uman loymara umnase. When you have an uman, a doctor, he wants to get more customers. And how do you get customers? By reference. If you kill him, he's not going to give you a good reference. He'll give you a bad reputation. So memela, there's a heter by a mumcha, and there's an iser by an einay mumcha. Because chashinon le shvichas damim vafilu hu safik chai safik meis ein misrapim himenu. And even if someone is a safik chai safik meis, he is a karas nefashis. It's also to have refuah from such a guy. And Aval umuvadai meis misrapim imenu. But if the person is going to die and his only eitzah, he's in a place, the only eitzah is to go to such a guy. So vadai misrapim imenu. The lechay isha leichashin an baha. Because for chay isha, we're not chayshish baha. Here, because what do you got to lose? You have to lose the chance to lose Chayei Shah, a chance to gain Chayei Olam. So it's worth sacrificing Chayei Shah in exchange for Chayei Olam. Now that you side.
How does that fit with Rashi?
Yeah. Oh, so Ramesh has a tshuva. He says, how does it fit with Rashi? So Ramesh writes that Vada Yahargenu means more than 50%. That it's 50-50 Yahargenu or not. And even if he tries to do things, he's not a mumcha. It's also olul to kill him. So Ramesha writes in the tshuva that vaday yahargenu can't be a vaday. But now I want to tell you, I'm going to come back to this in a few minutes. Agav, that this yisoid is a very important yisoid in medical shilas today, because you have situations where people loyaleinu are ill, and they have chayisha. The doctor says they can live for a few months. And they go for a medical procedure, which itself is a sakana. They have statistics on how many people survive the procedure. So what they're doing is going into a medical procedure which may kill them immediately, and they're, which means they'll lose chaye shah in order to have a shot at chaye oilam. Now, I'm going to discuss the pratim of that. Well, no one lives oilam va'ed, but it means chaye oilam means that he has no, he won't have a terminal condition. So I'm going to discuss that, the medical part of it, after we first have just discussed the pashup shot and the mechaber. But I want to point out that that is a major yisoid. The Gilyam HaShoah here points it out on the bottom of the page. Mikan danti amash neshalti b'chayla sharoi, all the way in the bottom. Mikan danti amash neshalti b'chayla sharoi fa'oim alitin loy lahakia. The roife is going to give him something. Lahakia, it's going to make him vomit. V'omer shem loy, what? Vomiting. V'omer shem loy yayilu hasamim yomus miyad. If the medicine doesn't help, it's going to kill him. Vim yayilu yisrape. And if it works, he'll be healed. V'ulai im lo yitein lo lahakia vade yomus achazman. Achazman ma. So if he's going to die for sure in a brief period of time, you're allowed to do a refuah which might kill him immediately. So as I said at the outset, the sif doesn't seem to be so nogea today. We don't understand that the Goyim, at least in this country, are out to kill Jews at every opportunity. Maybe in the Arab countries it might be different, but we don't understand it that way here.
So
Gilyam HaShoah is saying this rule, which I said I'll come back to later, but I can't resist mentioning, that you're allowed to sacrifice Chaye Shoah for a medical procedure which may give a person Chaye Olam. Now what is Chaye Shoah and what is Chaye Olam? So let's hold off. So well, because there he wants to make a distinction between Savachai Safik Meis and Vadai Meis. So you're right, he's saying, I feel Savachai Safik Meis, Amos Rap Mimenu, it's really redundant. He raised that Sakana. But he means to make a distinction that Avalimu Vadai Meis, which is also Sakana, then Misrap Mimenu. Then, if he's Vadai going to die, those are two types of a person who's in Sakana.
So what is the concern with the non-mukhah? Is that the non-mukhah is going to intentionally kill the yid?
Intentionally.
He's not such a good mukhah, and that therefore, because of the lack of knowledge, he's going
to... No, it's, the chashad is that he's going to intentionally kill him. Oh. Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
What's the nature of his thesis? Is this the Rabbanan, or is this just the implementation of Rishamah Tamo of Nafis?
Right, that's a good question. Is this Chazal made a gzeira, or is it advice? So there is a tremendous nafkamina, because there's a tashbats. The tshuva is the Teshbats. Teshbats is 16th century. Goes back a long time. It's quoted here in the Darke Tshuva. He says that Bizman Hazeh, we never heard of people holding back from going to practitioners, whether they're licensed medical practitioners or quacks. People go to Goyim, and they go to be misrapeh. Now, if Chazal would have made a gezeira against going, so it would be a gezeira, then the gezeira would stand. He writes that Bizman Hazeh Mutar because of Shomer Psoim Hashem. There's a klal of Shomer Psoim Hashem, which I'll explain in a minute, which is that something which, even if the Gemara says it's dangerous, but or if doctors say it's dangerous, but it's something that society accepts as a worthwhile risk, that there's no Isser Sakana to do such a thing. Now, that's the klal of Shomer Psoim Hashem. The Tashbats applies it here. It says, Bizman Hazeh, where it's accepted to go to a non-Jewish healer of some sort. So there's no Isser, because the Isser doesn't apply. But Tiferes Yisrael adds, in this Sugya of Avodah Zarah, it's in the Mishnayos, it's Perek Beis Mishnah Vav, that in a country where the Medina has laws that protect the patients, that also we don't say that the guy is chashed to kill, because he's afraid to kill. Reputation. So reputation is mutter even here, if he's a mumcha l'rabbi. But a non-mumcha is still mutter because in our country we're not afraid. Now that's all mashma, that it's not a gzeira. It would be a gzeira pashtus, it would apply anyway. That it's advice. Yes.
Yeah.
There's a chazal would ask that there would be a heter. So it sounds like the Tashbats understood that it's not a gezeira, it's a piece of advice. They said not to go to a goyish barber because he'll slit the person's throat with his razor. So we do it today, we go to barbers. Because b'zman hazeh, they're not
chashbats. We pay the barbers.
That what? Yeah, we mentioned in the past that our Akums may not be Akum, but here it's not also a desire. Here it's also hatred for Jews. It's also hatred for Jews here we're talking. What's it doing here? Because the end of the Sif is going to talk about Refuah through Avodah Zarah. We didn't finish the Sif. It's a Masechta Avodah Zarah because it leads in to the second topic.
Is this where there are no Jewish doctors, Jewish comparable doctors, and that's what we're going to say with the Tashbat. So the Tashbat gets set for them because now there were no doctors.
The Gemara says that you have to go to the doctor who you believe in. A person has to have confidence in a doctor, and the Gemara says such expression. You have a refuah from the doctor that you have confidence in. And it's funny, it says the same lashon. Says the same lashon by a Rebbe. You're allowed to travel, Kain's allowed to travel to Madur Abana to go learn. He can learn where he is. But you have to learn from someone with whom you connect. It's interesting, it says the same exact lashon by refuahs. Someone made a neder not to have hanoah from a person, he needs him for a refuah. In a way, let's say it's a sakana, but there are other doctors. So it says, "Lo mekol adam zechel es rapis." You're allowed to go to that doctor.
Is the schar also the same?
What?
The schar is also the same. That they can do for money, only for parmatol.
A guy healing a Jew?
No,
we're talking about talking about guy. Oh, you mean in general? Yeah, yeah. You find other similarities in a guy and a yid. A guy's not supposed to take. Not in a guy and a yid. In a doctor and a rebbe. It says by both of them. It's funny, it's halacha shulchan aruch in Tzchelek Gimel, that a doctor's not supposed to take money. He can only take schar batola. Uh-huh. It says about a rebbe, they're not supposed to take money. He can only take schar batola. Seems the schar batola for rebbeim are a lot less than the schar batola for a physician. No, lawyers can take money. What?
You could be healing by your patients in the meantime.
That's right. So he's the biggest schar batola. Okay. Good. Now there are two yesidus here that need to be explained before we get to the end of the sif. First of all, the concept of Shemir Psalm Hashem needs to be understood. The Gemara says in numerous places that such and such is a sakana, but Shemir Psalm Hashem. For example, the Gemara says not to do a bris milah on a stormy day. On a day where the weather is not good, the sun is not out, it says to push off a bris, not to do a bris on the eighth day. If it's a cloudy, it doesn't even say stormy day. If it's an overcast day, it says not to do a bris. So nowadays, you've never heard of anybody pushing off a bris because it's overcast. So the Gemara says that ha'idnu the doshu beirabim shomer psoim Hashem. So nowadays, the doshu bei rabim, that it's people ignore this. So shemir psalm Hashem, and it's mutter. Shemir psalm Hashem literally means that God watches the fools, and you should know what it means, not to be embarrassed once by saying it to the wrong person. But now this is a klal. Let me explain the klal. You see, there's a difference of opinion as to how Shemir Psalm Hashem works. Ramesh in his early tshuva on smoking writes that smoking is not halachically aser, because it's since Doshu Beirabim, people accept the risk of smoking for the benefit, for the pleasure. So Shemir Psalm Hashem, this rule kicks in. We can't aser it because of Shemir Psalm Hashem. There are those who argue that was true in the 70s. But today it may not be true. Today it's not an acceptable risk to any baris seichel. And the only people who smoke today are people who started smoking when they were under 18, basically. But what?
Secondary smoke.
Well, I don't know how. I think secondary smoke is still a shem psalm Hashem, an acceptable risk. Society, the government is prohibiting it. I don't know that. But anyway, the smoking, Ramesh had written in that shuvah, shem psalm Hashem. it brought a certain amount of controversy as to what's the explanation of Shomer P'saim Hashem. You can understand it two ways. You can understand Shomer P'saim Hashem means, if it's Doshu Bei Rabim, on a cloudy day, a bris milah, since people ignore the sakana, Shomer P'saim Hashem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of people, and the sakana is mitigated. It's not really a sakana. A sakana, yes. Right. So you can understand Shomer P'saim Hashem means that the sakana is not there. Ramesha doesn't understand it that way. He had numerous truvas about this yisaid. He understands Shomer P'saim Hashem means the following. It means that in everything in life, there's a certain level of risk. A person who stays home and doesn't go out is statistically less likely to be hit by a car than somebody who goes outside. Are we going to ask for going out in the street because statistically it's more likely that someone will get hit by a car? So we understand that that's an acceptable risk. Now, somebody who has a healthy diet is more likely to live longer than someone who eats junk food. Are we going to say that that's usher? So Ramesha says that what society accepts as an acceptable risk, that is Shomer P'saim Hashem. That is something that's halachic. It's a halachic concept. It's not a supernatural thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards him. The statistics remain statistics. But Shomer P'saim Hashem means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means the Torah doesn't prohibit that level of risk. That's the idea of Shomer P'saim Hashem. Hinda the Doshu Bei Rabim, Shomer P'saim Hashem. The issue of katlonis, of marrying a widow, a woman that was widowed twice, where the Rambam writes that ein meichin, that if somebody gets married, we don't stop them. It's understood by the Trumas Hadesh, and also he applies the concept of Shomer P'saim Hashem. Although one can argue that maybe there Shomer P'saim Hashem means that that is takalas of a sakana. The Trumas Hadeshen Kadmon is a raya to Rav Moshe that the sakana is a sakana and still it's mutter. The Trumas Hadeshen writes the following: Sorachian ishayach lameimer haytaima de Shomer P'saim Hashem letamid chacham shuyedeya umakir, the Talmud Chacham who knows that something is a bigger danger. Do we say Shomer P'saim Hashem? Vafilu binish di alma kasha hadava litzadei kokach lahatir hoyelvika chashash sakana, that still there in fact is a chashash sakana. So even there it's sort of reluctant to be matir. Shumas Hadeshin says that if somebody wants to push off a bris because it's a cloudy day, we allow him to. Now I'm not suggesting it. He says we allow him to. Now if you understand Shomer P'saim Hashem means to that there's less sakana, the sakana is mitigated, then there will be no reason to push off the bris. So it seems from Shumas Hadeshin, like Ramesha, that although statistically the sakana is there, nevertheless there's this idea of Shomer P'saim Hashem that halacha doesn't forbid things that has a level of risk which human beings in general consider to be an acceptable risk. So this is the the concept of Shomer P'saim Hashem.
Really was so like this.
Yes.
So should you why shouldn't you push it off? You should say like the truth of the nation, saying there is really a real risk.
Well, the argument is that since halachically you're not obligated to push it off, so you have a mitzvah bris on the eighth day. If somebody's going to say I don't want to do the bris today because it's rainy and there are more car accidents on rainy days, so we wouldn't let him push off a bris because of it, even though statistically he's right. But I think that's the general idea.
The Rav mentioned the chorus of Shomer P'saim Hashem when it comes to your physical well-being. What about your spiritual well-being? Let's say you have one route to go to work that maybe you'll see less darban, another route there statistically you might see more. Do we say Shomer P'saim Hashem and allow the
I don't think there's any source to say Shomer P'saim Hashem to put a person in the makam of Nisayon. I don't think so. Okay. Now, roller coasters. Only fools go on. Why would anybody want to go on a roller coaster? Kids. Yeah. Kids want to smoke too? So I don't know if a roller coaster is halachically. I don't think. I think 99.9% of people who go on roller coasters come off fine. I don't think it's a bigger danger than other things. But. Now, airplanes, see, they have very misleading statistics. They tell you airplanes are less dangerous than cars because per mile there are more fatalities in cars than in airplanes. It's true. But the average flight on an airplane is so many more miles, so that it's very misleading when they tell you statistically. The statistics, it's how you color it. You know, you fly to Israel, so you're flying, how many miles is it? A couple of thousand miles, 5,600 miles. So traveling 5,600 miles in a car, 5,600 miles in a plane, it's, but... Okay, anyway, this is the idea of Hashem Reb Sarim. Hashem, which Agav is mentioned here by the Teshuvahs. Now, I don't think we're concerned, Bizman Hazeh, with the guy putting us in Sakana. Nevertheless, the Agav Yisoid that's discussed here, let's talk about the idea of Chaye Shoah, risking Chaye Shoah for Chaye Yoimim. There are a number of difficult questions in Halacha that have to do with going for surgery in places where the surgery itself is dangerous and not doing the surgery is more dangerous. So there are really two areas that have to be discussed. One area is where a person has only Chaye Shoah. Now the first question is, what are Chaye Shoah? How long of a life is Chaye Shoah? It's Mufursim, the Psak of Rav Shlomo Kluger, who said, Chaye Shoah, everybody has Chaye Shoah, no one lives forever. So he says the only marker he could think of Chaye Shoah is the idea of a treifa in a chaya. He says a treifa doesn't live, but he does live. He lives up to 12 months. So we see that treifa in a chaya up to 12 months is called in a chaya. Doesn't live. Or he doesn't live chayelo. So he gives a guide of 12 months to be Chaye Shoah. Now what that means is that if a person is given by doctors less than 12 months to live, and his option is to have a refuah, which is a refuah hamisukenes. The refuah itself would put a person in danger. So we have here a psak from the Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to go into such a procedure, and that that's mutter. Now. No, that's something else. That's a totally different concept. Now, the marker for this, interestingly enough, is from Nach, from the Arba Mitzayram, the Aftar Parshas Mitzayra. It says there that the Arba Mitzayraim, they were Chutzla Machne. Why were they Chutzla Machne? Gechazi Shlesha Bana. Why were Chutzla Machne? Mitzayras goes Chutzla Machne, which is very schwer. Because they weren't by Yerushalayim, they were by Shomrim. It's only a walled city. Okay, but anyway, they were Chutz L'Machne, and there was a siege and there was a hunger. So they said, "Let's go to the enemy and ask them for food." So they said, "If Nova Yair v'Maslu Sham, we go to the city, there's no food, we're going to die. If we go to the enemy, so maybe they'll kill us, maybe they'll give us food. So let's already go to the enemy and go surrender." So the language of the pasuk where they say such a lashon, im nava yair, im amarnu nava yair, v'arav b'yir v'masnu, im amarnu nava la'ayev, whoever la'ayev was v'masnu, is saying that they pace to go to the enemy. Aye, they have chaye shoah. If they'll starve to death, they'll still live a few days. So we see from there that it's mutter to sacrifice chaye shoah. They might get killed right away for the benefit. Potentially having chayel, and that's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah brings that as the makar that a person allowed to give up chayel shah for chayel yaylam. Now, what? It's not a year. Nachinami, we see chayel shah, but how much? At hechan advar magiim. So that Reb Shlomo Kluger is the makar for
first step. Somebody can live 11 months. So he can get an operation.
So he should push off the operation. Right. So he's allowed to do that. He's allowed to take
a chayei
yoyim. Well, look, he doesn't have to do the operation today. If the doctor tells me to do an operation in 5 months, I'll do it 5 months later. But it depends each case on the metzias. Now, what? So that is already a question in the Achrayim that I want to discuss. But this is the aside that we learn from here. Now, the odds of statistics.
Maybe they shouldn't have been.
Hindsight is 20/20. So it's not fair to look back afterwards. A person has to look ahead of time. The truth is, this is one of the famous truvas of the Tiferes Yisrael is on the smallpox vaccine. The smallpox vaccine came out. Smallpox on the whole was worth it because society, there were people dying from smallpox, and with the vaccine, some people died from the vaccine, but it was a much smaller percentage of people than died from the disease. But here you were taking a perfectly healthy person who didn't have smallpox, and you're inoculating him with a vaccine that may kill him. And there was a debate as to whether that's something that's mutter or not. And Tiferes Yisrael wrote a tshuva. It's printed in the Mishnayos in Yuma as a bayaz there, his tshuva on the smallpox vaccine. And he says this rule. He says that you take the statistics come into play, and you're allowed to weigh statistic against statistic to do it. Now there, it's even hard to express that he had Tayyashah. Right now he's perfectly healthy. So there, it's sort of jumping. We're saying that society as a whole, there are people who are going to die. We have to get those people. In order to get those people, we have to vaccinate everybody. And Im Kol Zeh, he said a heter, which was Mekubal, which was an accepted heter. Now,
can you use statistics? He said you can't use statistics of a guy,
right?
In your
it's not accepted in the Paiskim. The idea of the Chassam Sefer is not. I've never heard Paiskim should accept such a thing. Chassam Sefer writes that you can't compare the body of a guy to the body of a yid. Where does he say it? He says on the idea that Treifus is Metamtem as Halev. So he says, we see by Goyim, whatever, that doesn't bring them to any less wisdom. So he says, you can't be arrived from the body of a yid to the body of a guy. So he says, look, I'll be that. Well, that's true about medical statistics, the place can don't go with such a mahala. Now, here is where it gets tricky. Now, I'd like to try to go step by step. The first question is, when we say you're allowed to risk Chaye Shah to go for a surgery of Chaye Olam, to pre-get Chaye Olam, is that only if the surgery is at least a Suffolk HaShakel that the person will live? What happens if the surgery itself has poor statistics? The surgery itself is, well, it's less than 10% survival. That's called Miyachein HaMatzi. We wouldn't worry about it. We wouldn't take it into account. But let's say a person has only a lane who has a two-thirds chance of dying, a one-third chance of living if he goes to such a surgery. The question is whether you're allowed to sacrifice Chaye Shah for Chaye Olam in a case where the statistics are poor. That's the issue. How poor? Hard for me to say exactly. But the Paiskim talk about a less than 50-50 chance. So there are three Gedolei HaPaiskim that are Matir. There are Reb Chaim Oizer and Achiezer. And the Binyan Tzion. Achiezer is in the Yerodei Achelek Tshuva Tezayin. And the Binyan Tzion, I did not mark down the Tshuva number. Sorry. And the Igros Moshe is in a few places. Yerodei Achelek Aleph Tshuva Nun Ches. He says categorically that it's mutter, even if statistically your chances of survival are poor. And he brings a raya from the Rashi I told you. Here, you're allowed to risk Chaye Shah to go to this person for Chaye Olam. And Rashi said on Lashon, V'vadai yehargenu. So we understand Vadai, does the Rashi never meant 100%. He certainly meant Raiv, if he says V'vadai yehargenu. So Ramesha says it's a raya that even if statistically the chance of survival is less than 50-50, that it's still permissible to go, to be faced with such a surgery. Now they do bring from a Sefer Mishnas Chachamim, I'm not familiar with it, Rav Chaim Oizer brings it, and they bring from him that the heter, interesting Heinfeld, the heter to take someone who has Chaye Shah and do a surgery which statistically is likely to kill him, is a heter for the chayla. He says it's not a heter for the doctor. It's not a heter for a Jewish doctor to do it. The chayla has no choice. He has to go to it. The doctor has a choice. Why should it be a suffik retzayach if he could pass on it? Let someone else, let a guy do it. You would be. I want to talk about Chil Shabbos. Remind me afterwards. Chil Shabbos has different guidelines. But as far as this is concerned, that's the Mishnas Chacham. They're matmiya on him. What?
To a Jewish doctor and have you sent him to a guy.
What? by becoming zechelis rabbis. Okay, they're matmiya on this mishnas chachamim from the Ramban. He's a famous lashon Ramban in Torah Sa'adam. The Ramban, as you know, was a physician, and he writes there that the Torah says v'rapa yarape. And his lashon is verbatim, but goes something as follows. He says, "Shema yoyma harayfe, mali litzara hazois." A doctor will say, "Why do I need this? Shavadai, over the period of time, I'll kill somebody. In my, if somebody deals with these type of procedures, says in my course of being a doctor, at some point I'll kill somebody. So mali litzara hazois, I should go into ritzicha." Says tamalai merape yarape. He says a doctor who approaches a patient to heal him, even if he kills him, he's mekayim a mitzvah, v'rapa yirape. He went to heal him. As long as it's not a pshia, right? So then there's no issa for karet. He's mekayim a mitzvah. He doesn't need a kapara.
That's what
it could be. Midrashim is a better eye from a Ramban than from a Medrash. Midrashim we don't pass him from. But could be it's a Medrash. There's a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer, a Peldik tshuva. Is a rule that if someone kills somebody by accident, he needs a kapara. It's broad, I think, in Hilchas Raif, Ancient Lamed Vav. If someone kills somebody by mistake, he needs a kapara. A Jew kills a Jew. There's a mice in the Chasam Sofer. The case was someone passed out, someone fainted. So refuah for fainting used to be that you poured water down his mouth. You revived him by pouring water. This person grabbed a pitcher and by mistake poured kerosene down the person's mouth and killed him. That was the ma'aser. And they wrote to the Chasam Sofer, if he needs kapara, he said, Habo lahatzil does not need kapara. Obviously, it didn't say on the kerosene, it would have been a pesheya. It's a pitcher and it had still kerosene in it. He says, Habo lahatzil doesn't need kapara at all. Somebody is Isaac and Atzala, and he by mistake killed somebody, so he doesn't need kapara. So this is the yisoy that they're matmiya on the Mishnas Chachamim. Mishnas Chachamim says it's a rayas from the Arba Mitzrayim. There was only Goyim. But Arba Mitzrayim, the refuah was coming, so to speak, from the Goyim. They're going to feed them. I don't remember the exact lashon. I'm sorry. He means you now. He's not a pesheya. Sure. He wasn't a pesheya. He was not a pesheya. What? He took a picture. He thought it was a drinkable liquid. Okay, you have to look at the lashon. I can't tell you. Now it gets a little more complicated. It gets a little more complicated because till now we're talking the chayla haschayisha, and we're doing a refuah that has the potential to give him chayyayla. The question comes up. When a chayla has chayei olam, he could live for 2 years. Whether he can go through with a procedure that would endanger him immediately in order to get chayei olam. Chayei olam meaning he won't have any terminal condition. More chayei olam. Okay. So this, the paiskim bizmaneinu, work with statistics. They work with statistics, and they say if the statistics are improved, it's mutter. This is based on an understanding that the Shulchan Aruch here is talking where the statistics are bad. In other words, Chayesha, he has 100% chance for Chayesha. And the healing here is Vaday Yargenu, is a small chance of healing. Then you need a Cheshbin of Chayesha Chayyadam. So then you need a Cheshbin, since this is only Chayesha, that's Chayyadam, therefore it's mutter. But where statistically there has to be a significant chance that it's going to be better, so there they're not here going for a surgery, even if the surgery is dangerous. Somebody has a heart condition, which Lavdavka is going to die in a year, but statistically it's poor. With a smallpox vaccine, it's Lavdavka that he only has Chayesha. But if statistically it's better, that's mutter. Now, you can only say that if you understand this Shulchan Aruch is talking where the statistical prognosis is poor, and nevertheless, it's muta chayisha for chayyayla. And then we can go right and say that when it's chayyayla, chayyayla, we're allowed to work with statistics.
I understand how this works. If you're saying that the whole basis for determining if somebody makes a decision based upon what the guy is saying. So how does halacha impact on that? So if I'm only basing it on what he's saying, so why can't the patient himself determine what he wants to do? How does halacha impact?
This is a separate issue. I want to talk about whether the patient can determine. I'm talking now about the place of determining.
Let's assume the patient does what he's not supposed to do. So let's say he determines that he wants to go through the procedure when he wants. The halacha says he wasn't supposed to. What if he survives? We become Tibetan, we become monks.
There's a famous psak from Chaim, from Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbat.
If he dies, you don't give him
money. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a psak. The truth is, it goes back to Sefer Chaim, which is also Rav Shlomo Kluger. There are two Sefer Chaims. There's one from the Maral's brother, but that's on Machshava, and there's one on Shulchan Aruch from Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger writes that these are all heterim. If the chayla does not want to go ahead with it, you don't force the chayla to go ahead with it. That's what says the Sefer Chaim. And Rav Chaim Shlomo Zalman says the following. He gives a gedder. He says, if a chayla wants to refuse oxygen or intravenous, he wants to refuse things which a normal human being needs. A healthy human being needs to breathe. A healthy human being needs to eat. The new normal health of being needs to be hydrated. That if someone refuses him this kfiyah, we force him to have the things that human beings naturally need. However, if it's to go to a refuah, to let's say a surgery, to go to surgery in such a situation is something a chayla himself is allowed to refuse. He's not obligated to go to a surgery if the surgery is a sakana. He's not obligated. I will tell you, this I'm hearing, Rishlem Zama's Tshuva is printed in Nishmas Avraham. That's where I know. It might be printed elsewhere. There is a concept of Iyu Leichazi, Maz Leichazi. It's a bit of a spooky concept that sometimes you don't see it, but your mazel has a feeling about it. Now, I know of a few instances, a little spooky. We had here a Mispowel, Yaakov Pruss. Many of you know him. He was a big biker. He was killed a few months ago biking. A car hit him and killed him. He spent the last 10 months of his life writing articles about how dangerous it is to bike. It was printed on Modia one of them. How dangerous it is to bike. You have to go with the safety gear. He was a big safety person. And he wrote articles about it, just poked the last 10 months of his life. He was writing articles all over the place and sending out letters, and like he was Meshuggalai Seidavar. Like, Iyu Leichazi, Maz Leichazi. Reb Shishon Pinkus, you will know, was killed, unfortunately, in a car accident. They printed his tshuvas. It's a thin sefer there, maybe 2 dozen tshuvas. He has a tshuva there about cars. And he writes emphatically that if the Sanhedrin was in control, they would forbid driving cars, because cars kill X number of people, and the sakana is not worth the benefit of driving a car. That's what he writes in a tshuva. He writes that cars that, and he himself, I don't look at the date on the tshuva, I don't know if it's a date, but he himself was killed in a car accident, like Iyu Leichazi, Maz Leichazi, that there is such a thing. When a chayla refuses a surgery that's a sakana, there is such a cheshbon of allowing him to refuse it, and that's the psak. Now, there are in-between things that are between hydration and oxygen and surgery which are debated. Dialysis is one such thing. Every human being needs his kidneys to function well. Is dialysis called something that every human being needs, and we do kfiya? Or is dialysis something that's called an extra, nobody needs it from the outside, and therefore he's allowed to refuse it? So that, you'll have different opinions among different paiskim. But this is the general guideline in this topic.
Discussion they're discussing, but when it comes to the quality of life, people also make decisions based on quality of life.
Yes,
somebody has highly sick with cancer, and you give them certain treatments, and then they say, well, there's going to be no quality of life. Is there a halach discussion regarding...
There's a lot of heavy debate, and there's a tremendous... In any community, Rabbanim have a tremendous difference of opinion on the matter. And that the question is whether for quality of life somebody can refuse treatment. He can live a long time, but Le'Aleinu, he won't be aware. On the one hand, Rav Scheinberg's Shita in Eretz Yisrael, and those who go with his Shita, is you have to do everything to live, period. Nothing, no exceptions. You have to do everything you can to live. On the other hand,
is that achrayas of the family?
Well, there's no difference to the family and anybody else. Everybody has the same achrayas. That's his shita. If somebody in Flatbush asks for Meir Sheinberg, he goes to his uncle Shita, and he'll say, do everything you have to do. On the other hand, there are those, Dr. Abraham quotes from Shlomo Zalman, that limits what you have to do, given certain conditions. You know, there are certain conditions. If a person is not terminal, then pretty much everyone agrees. If a person doesn't have a terminal condition that you have to do. But if a person has a terminal condition, so Rav Shlomo Zalman has these guidelines, different types of things. You do have to do different things now. Rav Palm held somewhere in between. He was reluctant to pass Kedidin and Fashas in general. When he had to, he held in between. He said, if the person is able to perform a mitzvah, if the person has enough of an awareness, he can make one more bracha, he could say one more Shema, then he held that you have to do whatever you could to prolong the life. Because Yafashach has Belem Ezebetaru mitzvahs makol chayelam abba. So if a person could still perform a mitzvah, that we do it. If he's already in a state, a comatose state, where as far as we understand, you know, everyone says, oh, he really knows, he really understands, it's not likely. When there's no brain function, it's not likely that all these stories are true. And when we understand that he can't do mitzvahs, in such a case, we're probably held to the other extreme. He held not to do... not to do surgeries, not to do things.
So, would
never say to sign a DNR? Signing a DNR has another downside. There's a downside that the quality of care is less. But he'll say, no, that's my understanding. That's what I believe he holds in. He holds. I mean, you can ask people more into it than I, but that's my understanding. He holds you have to do everything you can.
Does the person status change if
the client is Samech on a Pesach, you're allowed to respect his Pesach. You're not actively, you're just passively not...
The client has never seen or heard of the Pesach in the client's life. It's not holding it. So, the client first said, I'm against it, therefore...
You have no choice. A professional who doesn't follow the client's wishes is going to lose his license. You have no choice.
You refuse your personal reasons, and you have the ability to...
No, you're saying if the client signs a DNR, you're allowed to resuscitate him. That's your question.
No, you have to put the client in drawing it up.
Drawing it up?
Yeah.
You could draw it up. There's no say, yeah, because you can go to somebody else. There's no naivety. Yeah.
Oh, so you are talking to the other person, and the person can't do the opposite.
Because I was talking about Rav Shlomo Zalman Shita when I mentioned dialysis. I was talking about Rav Shlomo Zalman Shita.
And also, the funny question
is, I'm not sure what that means. You know, the New York Times once asked Rav Moshe, what makes you up for the Pesach Hadar? So Rav Moshe, his humility, answered, he said, people call me, ask me a question, they like my answer. So they call me again, and they tell their friends to call me. That's how Rav Moshe explained to them, and that's how you become a Pesach, you know. So who decides who can paskin? I don't know. There's some Tamei Chachamim that will tell you, Pe Mole, they don't know anything about Psak. And it's true. There are some who are Oisik and Yeshiva Shemesech, as they teach. And they never diversify, so to speak, into other areas, so... I can't tell you. I don't have a thermometer to tell you who's a Pesach and who's not. So I have no way of knowing. But
the person's status changed when he has the ability to do a mitzvah to when he just can't do a mitzvah. Why is that the chiluk? What's the broad line on
the idea is that there has to be a trade-off. You're not a killer person in any case. The question is whether he's allowed to refuse to have a surgery which will prolong his life, or to have a procedure which will prolong his life. So what we're saying is that it shouldn't be up to him, it should be an objective thing. If objectively his life is worth living, he says it's not worth living, he's wrong. It is worth living. And therefore it should continue. If he can't be Mekayim Mitzvah, that's a different story.
Not able to be Mekayim Mitzvah, does he even get the Mekayim Mitzvah of helping others be Mekayim Mitzvah of Bikur Cholim?
The person is not Mechuyiv to be a Chefza, the Mitzvah of other people's Bikur Cholim.
If
a person doesn't want people, let's say a person doesn't want visitors, he wants to be left alone. He's not Mechuyiv to have visitors so other people can do Bikur Cholim.
Where do you have it? Where do you have it?
We're going to have it later. If a parent says to do something shalaika halacha, it's also to do it. Kibrav aims to do it halacha. If it's against halacha, you're not allowed to.
Isn't there an issue that a person who suffers yisurim in this world pays off in the next world? So
there are stories about that, but you don't give people yisurim in order they should have less gan again. I'm saying when halacha says let him live with yisurim, so we take a nechama that'll go to Olam Haba. The story about the fellow who died early, he came to his doctor in a dream and said, if I would have had pain for another day, I would have gone straight to Olam Haba. So whether the story happened or not, the message is correct. But it's nothing to do with halacha. In halacha, you don't cause someone pain, so you should have less Gehenna. You know, I once heard that the people call someone my Gan Eden. Expression, he's my Gan Eden. Somebody said, why do you mean he's a Gan Eden? Says, I have my Yisurim and Olam Hazeh. So from him, I'm going to go straight to Gan Eden. That's what I heard that expression. My Shver always called me my Gan Eden.
You meant that's what you meant.
Okay, I think we should get back to Yeridaya.
You wanted to go back to Shabbos?
Oh, Shabbos, yeah. Yes. We always go, you have to understand, we always follow statistics when the halacha has to figure out the metzias. There are cases where halacha doesn't have to figure out the metzias. So then we go, bust whatever, we have a Kabbalah. We have a Kabbalah that this is okay or this is not okay. So we follow it. We have a Kabbalah that an injury to the top of the hand is a sakana and we're mechal Shabbos. There's a Shulchan Aruch, we follow it without statistics. When we have situations which we don't know, so then we figure out the metzias based on the best statistics that are available. If you know, you don't go. One thing I will tell you is not to sign a DNR when it's briefly after the onset of a problem. When the problem is relatively new, and there is pressure, I don't think doctors are supposed to pressure, but the hospitals pressure people to sign DNRs only after they've done all the procedures. A hospital bed is worth the amount of MRIs and CAT scans the patient will have. That's typically, after they exhausted that, there's a lot of pressure to sign a DNR. And I don't think they're supposed to pressure the person, but there is no question they put a lot of pressure. If it's a new situation, it's Baduk Menusa, if it's a new situation, not to quickly sign a DNR in any event, because I don't recommend signing DNR because the patient's care is not they're not well taken care of. And I mentioned it to someone here, and someone brought me an article, a medical article. Was it you, Reb Chaim? Yeah, you brought me an article, one of the medical journals, that said such a thing, that the patient, when you sign a DNR, the bed sores are more common, all the different machlis of lack of care are more common. And that's enough of a reason to not sign a DNR. But anyway, let's get back to... I want to talk about Shabbos. The Mechaber Loshen here, the L'chayisha Loi Chashinon Beha. What is Beha? The gra in Sivkot Nehei. Baha, Kavanos, Ilamashkos, the Taisus. What is Taisus? What does Taisus say? So look at Taz Beis. Kosuat Taisus. Hoda Amino Biyuma, Mefachin Lov Hagal Bishabis. Lochush Lachayisha. The halach is on Shabbos. You're allowed to be Mefakechas Hagal. Means it's a collapsed building. You're allowed to dig to try to rescue a person there, even if there was a case, theoretically, where even if you found the person, you would only give him Chayei Shah, you couldn't give him Chayei Yoylam. So the halach is, b'fayim l'agal b'shabes, l'ochush l'chayei Shah, hocha v'hasa v'abdim l'tayvasai, hasa m'loy sachush yamos. They're the choices between death and Chayei Shah, l'chal Shabbos v'chayei Shah. Hocha, t'ochush v'loy yisrapi m'menu v'ada yamos. The kanshaf kinan avade misa avdin asafik. Now, if the choice is death or chayisha or mechal Shabbos, do over anything for chayisha, you're able to live another hour. And when the choice is chayisha and chayyolam, then baha we push away chayisha for the benefit of chayyolam. So the mechaber says loy chayishim al chayisha baha is lafukiach l'Shabbos. Now the Shabbos or mechal Shabbos, even if it'll just give a person another hour of life,
even if he's coma.
V'chaybahem. It's interesting because the Meiri there asks, one of the reasons of Mechal Shabbos is Mutav Shechal of Shabbos Achas, and Kedesh Shikayim Shabbos Isharbe. He's not going to be Mekayim Shabbos Isharbe. So whatever the answer is, the Meiri says it could be Mekayim other mitzvahs in the interim. He could say Shema Harbe. Even if he's comatose, it's the same thing. There are poskim that say that Mutav Shechal Shabbos Achas is a shifra de lishna, but it's not to be taken literally that's what it means. With Mechal Fachayi Shah, even for someone who doesn't know he's a Jew. The halacha is, if you don't know if it's a guy or a yid, you're mechal Shabbos. Because of the tzadniut that he might be a Jew. He's a Jew, he doesn't know he's a Jew. He's not going to keep Shabbos. He's not going to say Shema. We're mechal Shabbos anyway. Mechal Shabbos for an emergency, even all the ifs, all the maybes.
You said Chai Shah is less than 12 months, right?
Yeah. What? Chai Shah is up to 12 months is Chai Shah. 1 minute is Chai Shah, 2 minutes Chai Shah, up to 12 months is only called Chai Shah. After 12 months, it's already called Chai Yom. That's what we mean. Now, okay, so this is the Yisoid, which comes in Derech Agav of Chai Shah and Chai Yom. Now, we'll see the last piece. You know what? Piskei Tshuva Aleph we'll do next time. It's a bit long. Let's see the end of the Mechaber then. And then Mechaber, the last, we didn't do the second Ramah. Yeshayim Yechozai and Yasak Shevik Chavim Oysa Bechinam. The Chashash Goyal kills someone is only if he does things for free. Avon Oysa Beschar Bechol Yimot the Chashib see the day gray. He's afraid he won't be paid. Nowadays, even if the doctor kills the patient, they get paid because they did the Rafua. But anyway, he's afraid he won't be paid. So Menach Chashash Goyal kill him. Avon. Now here is a very contemporary issue. If a guy is coming to heal somebody with a lachash, what is lachash? He's whispering words, mutter. And that is if you don't know that he's talking about avaydazar. Avlum yedeya shemaske shem alilim aser. Afiluim yedeya shavade yamus. But let's say you go to one of these. What do they call themselves? Universal energy. What?
Alternative medicine.
They have there's some alternative medicine which are natural healing process. There's some which they call different words after with energy, voodoo. They call themselves universal energy or different types of energy things. See, is that mutter also? So it says if he doesn't mention shem avodah zarah, then it's mutter. If he dares shemask shem alilim asura. Now here Apikairis refers most likely to the Talmidei Yeshu. And Apikairis, Afilus Tam Lachash Asur Shavadei Maske Shem Alilim. These things that they do that are based on Avodah Zarah, that is Asur.
So,
if it doesn't work, there's no reason to do it. It means there's a possibility it's going to work. There's Kaya Chatoma, there's a concept of Kaya Chatoma. Shakal Yafal Upsala. Okay. So here, it's a very difficult topic. Let me, I myself, people ask about these alternative medicines. The truth is, it's very difficult to know how to answer unless you do adequate research. I know Rav Belsky is very stark against many of the alternative medicines, the ones that use this energy concept. Now, the way...
Against
a lot of these Eastern refuahs. The shaila is the following. Now, first of all, let me tell you, it's a Truman de B'tzei Ala Chochma. And he makes a distinction in alternative medicines. This is a chelik gimel, Truva Lamentes. He makes a chelik between alternative medicines that involve lachash, involve any type of speaking, and those that don't. It says the Oisrim all talk about lachash. If it's done with some other type of oifen kishuf, he holds that stam kishuf is a dovar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world, and it exists. And the Makam Sakana, he's saying that that's mutter. If it doesn't involve any lachash at all, then it's mutter. The nidain is when it involves some sort of a lachash, when it involves something that has to do with alilim. The shal is the following. What they do in order to be accepted is they talk about the power, which can easily be said to be God. Because they talk about the creator, the power. They talk about things that are expressed in such a universal way that it can be understood, in general, it can be understood to mean God. The Shaila is that Elilim? Or I say, he's saying that we're mechavin to the power, and I think the power, I'm talking about the Rabbi Shalom. So then, Kama Rayis, that's still Avodah Zarah. One Rayis from Sefer Torah Shekasvei Min Yisarev. What is the Min doing? He's writing Yud Kei Vav Kei. He's writing Yud Kei Vav Kei, and still Sefer Torah Shekasvei Min is Yisarev. Earlier, in Kuf Mem Zayin, which we didn't learn, it says there in Halacha, in the last Ramah, Kuf Mem Zayin, Muta Loi Meloi Vekechavim Elokecha Yia Bezrecha. You're allowed to tell a guy, your God should help you. Tell a guy, God bless you. So he says, you're allowed to say, God bless you. Why? Because the Jew is talking. He's not talking about Avodah Zarah. He's talking about the Creator, about the Adnus. What about the reverse? Zokta Beislachim Yehuda B'Shem Sefer Chassidim. He says, Lo Yoimer. Im Yoimer Ovi Chichavim. If a guy says to you, Elokeinu, I don't say Eloheinu, meaning Avodah Zarah, Elokeinu, he says to you, Elokeinu, Ayadeinu, Yazrecha. A guy says to you, God bless you. He says, a guy says, God bless you. Are you allowed to say Amen? That's a Shaila. If you ever have a Chavim, Elokeinu, Ayadeinu, Yazrecha, Yatzilecha, Oyea Imcha, Al Yani Yehudi Amen, Ki Kavanasi Eloya Shalai. His kavana is on his God. That means the guy is saying, this is mamish this case. The guy, this practitioner is saying, the power, the God, the creator, whatever he's saying, is going to help you. And somehow that's part of the lachash. So even though you're understanding it to mean to refer to the Bayayayalam, but here we see that even when he uses even Yud Kei Vav Kei, that it still means Shem Avodah Zarah, still referring to an Avodah Zarah. So it seems from here that these are, you could say thank you, I guess, but we see that these Shemais are still Shemais Elilim, and that therefore there should be some type of an Isser. Now, which ones come from Avodah Zarah, which ones don't, I have no idea. But it sounds like Stam, when a guy says a Shema Lakus, it's also, what did it say? Here in the Shulchan Aruch, it said, if Yedea Shemask Shema Lilim Aser, if Ili Yedea Shavadei Yamus, Bumwapi Kairis, Hafil Stam Lachash Aser, Shavadei Mask Shema Lilim. The Mechaber seems to be saying that in these cases where these people are priests in these other areas, that the Mechaber seems to say that that's Stam is Aser. You know, 100% it's Avodah Zarah, no. But you have to assume it's Avodah Zarah. And it's saying here that that's Aser. What? I don't know what Kochas Tumah mean, but... Kochas HaTumah, if they really exist today... Kachas HaTumah, you have to ride him out of town. You know, the Kachas HaTumah Rabbi Dezara. What does that mean? What is Kishuv? So that's a good question. I'm not sure. But, yes.
Happy holiday
to you. I remember I was once in the bank. Rav Pamta told the teller, it's this time of the year. And he wished him a happy new year, not a happy holiday. And so I remember noticing that... Happy New Year is not Avodah Zarah. Okay, so say Happy New Year.
The lesson that you read,
when you tell the guy, when you speak to the guy, you could say God bless you. This is lashon. You're speaking to the guy. It's taka interesting. You're mechavin to the Rabbi Shalom. It's interesting, the Shach says, Dafke Elokim Yebezrecha Mot Elokecha Aser. The Shach argues. But I assume that the Ramo says it's Mutter means that you're Mechavin to the Rabbi Shalom. So, the Taz also says, Aga Shitvei Leidok Vairazu. The Shach and Taz both say, Shach Gimel. They say, you should say Elokecha. You should say Elokim. Okay.
You say Elokecha.
And apikiris here means tamidei yeshu. In the old writings, that was the word min was always a mitamidei yeshu noitzri. It was always a. There's no shilat of avodah zarah for a Jew. It's a shilat of avodah zarah for a guy, but it's a shilat. Guy apikiris believes in nothing, so you're safe with him. Yeah. You're not Moritz. Okay. Even if you were an apikiris, you learned everything and decided, like the Vilna apikiris. Eh? Okay. I didn't do the Chasam Sofer in Tshuva Aleph from Yitzchak Shem next week. The Kabbalah Chanukah will learn regular.
Extra.
Extra. Yeah.